Hey everybody, welcome to Jay and Jay on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire.
This is my friend Jeff, and I've just learned that he owns three drum sets and a golden doodle.
That is true, and I am beat out by James, who owns one of those leg lamps from the Christmas Story.
I do. That is... Now, if my father's watching this episode, which I don't think he does, he would argue that it's his, because about a year and a half ago, he said, can the leg lamp live at your house in some sort of a custodial arrangement? And it's been here long enough that it's right here. And it's been here long enough that I've decided it's mine. So that's
okay. And I've also decided in the next episode, the leg lamp needs to make an appearance.
No problem.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's a major award.
A major award. So aside from golden doodles and leg lamps, we want to talk to you guys about money notes. And that's a term that gets thrown around. I remember hearing it when I was coming up playing jazz. And every once in a while, we hear people talk about it. And sometimes it's not entirely clear what that means. I don't even know what James thinks that means. You use that term even.
I do use that term. I use it in Maryland Summer Jazz all the time. People probably get tired of, of hearing me say it. Right? But I definitely use it all the time. Yeah.
And so what are you talking about? So today we're going to talk about this tune, Bernie's Tune. It's just a great old swing tune, and I thought it would be interesting. Actually, the Green community inside Jazzwire is working on this for the next 3 weeks. So yeah, like what are you thinking of? How would you define that, money notes?
Yeah, so we talked about it in, I think it was our last episode, when we were talking about 1625, and and we were talking about how to make that sixth dominant chord really sing, and it's making the third of that chord, right? And so I find more often than not, when I'm talking to students about what the money note might be in a particular chord or a particular phrase, it oftentimes is the third of the dominant chord. It could be anything that's important, but for me, that's like the most basic money note, and it's the one that I listen for in players that are younger the most. Are they nailing the third of the dominant chord? So that's my money note.
Sweet, I like it.
So it's real simple, like real granular. Like it's just that's really that level, you know. So
well, and that's a great definition. And very often, I'd agree that the third of the dominant chord is the note to aim for. It gives the flavor of the chord. Not always, and we'll actually see a cool exception today. So to me, the money note, very much like what you're talking about, it's that note that when you hit it, people go like, dang, like, oh, okay, this cat knows how to play, or ooh, oh, yeah, nice, right? So that's kind of the way I think about it. So actually in this melody, this tune we're talking about, Bernie's Tune. The way that melody goes down, that cool half step in the third measure, that's the note, that's why you play that tune, is that note. That's the slick part of the melody, right? So to me, that's where it's at with that melody. And so if I'm soloing, I want to hit that note. So what is that note? Well, if you look at the chord changes and look at the melody, it's actually the flat seven of that dominant chord. So it's kind of interesting. So not always is the answer the third of the dominant chord. The third of the dominant chord is never wrong, but sometimes that note is another one. Here's another way I think about the money note is it's the note that's not in the key that you're in right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we're in the key of D minor and we go to that second chord, that A flat concert, that note is not in D minor. So the weirdest note of the chord is the one you want to play. That's the one that gives you the sound of the chord change. It's kind of interesting, right? So that's another way of thinking about it. But right, so you were saying when you're listening to a younger player, a less experienced player play, you're listening for if they know that kind of sweet spot of the chord. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Yeah, and so on Bernie's Tune, for me, I'm going to want to listen for when it's appropriate, how are they using C sharp on A dominant seven to get back to D minor, right? I'm always listening to hear like, and I'll use the melody to give us a little frame of reference, right? There's that C sharp, right? So I'm listening at the end of that 8-bar phrase, like, are they going to use that C sharp as a way to spin themselves into the next phrase, or to turn themselves around into the next phrase? That's why we call them turnarounds, right?
So. And now, for everybody out there, I want you to steal that last thing that James played. Ba-ba-doo, ba-ba-da, that great little enclosure thing you played. That was pretty good, man. Are you charging for that? You should charge for that. People on the internet would probably pay $80 each for a lick like that, because they're not used to getting stuff for free.
Jeff, I've made my whole career on that one lick. Like, people were just tired of hearing that from me. But luckily, we got a whole new audience with this episode. People that haven't heard my tired stuff yet. This is wonderful for me.
Very good. And I don't know if they've seen my tired shirt, but, you know, this is important. Yeah. There it is. All right. So let me do this. I want to play, I'm going to play two A sections for you guys with a track on this end. Actually, it's not a track. It's actually the band that lives in my basement and I don't ever let them out. Not a track at all. And so these guys, they're swinging, they're going to play. And I'm going to try to hit those important notes that we're talking about. So in the third and fourth measure, the flat seven of that dominant chord. And so when you hear a note that sounds different, sounds interesting, sounds hip, sounds wise ass, whatever it is, that's the note. That's the money note. And then on the dominant chords, on those A7s that come up the second half of the A section, measures, what is it, 6 and 8, that the third of that chord. And there's some other money notes I may experiment with too that kind of let you know I hit that chord, I'm creating some tension, whatever it is. So let me play a little bit for you.
No, you sounded beautiful, and I love the way you incorporated that A flat. That's clearly a note that resonates with you. You used it in a quote, too, right? Softly as in a morning sunrise-ish?
Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever even played, you know, whatever. That came to mind somehow, something I played right before it. Played the first part and thought, ooh, now I get to alter that quote with that melody. So I kind of was able to fit in both.
Yeah. It's very obvious that you lean into the notes that, again, that really sort of resonate with you. And I love the way earlier you talked about it being, maybe it's the note that's furthest away from the key or not in the key. Maybe it's an extension on a dominant chord that might be just sort of out there a little bit to people's ears that they may want to back away from. But oftentimes it's the note that you want to lean into, right? And you really, really exemplified that in your playing. I think that was, yeah. That's very great.
That's cool. Well, let's have you do two A sections. Let's check it out.
All right. So my money note is that C sharp, right? And I'm gonna try to use it in two ways. So I'm gonna try to use it in a way that really outlines that dominant seven chord, which Jeff also nailed that, the A7 going back to D minor. But I'm also gonna try to use it very intentionally as a way to spring me into playing maybe some lower neighbor tone ideas. We'll see what happens. Here we go.
Yeah, James, that was awesome. And so exactly what you said you were going to do, that was in there. The way you use that chords is the basis of an arpeggio. I think I heard one time 3-5-7 flat 9, maybe on that dominant chord. So that's it. And that's what makes, like, that's really to me the sound of bebop, the way you played a melody that even if the accompaniment wasn't there, we would hear the changes, right? So that's kind of our goal, is to play melodies that have the harmony inside them. I think the melody note is what helps us do that. And now this is for guitar players and piano players too. I know you guys have like other hands and fancy strings and stuff like that where you can accompany yourself. Don't do that, actually. Now, you should practice accompanying yourself. Sure, great. But what I want you to do is practice just, let's say on the piano, left-hand melody. Do not comp for yourself and develop the strength of your melodies. That's kind of, you know, what these money notes will kind of do. It's possible to sort of comp for yourself in a way where your right-hand melodies can be a little loose, not really as clear as they should be, but the chords behind them, you know, make them make a little bit of sense. So that's a good challenge to the guitar players and the piano players out there.
One quick thought. It's interesting that those of us that are horn players that are totally, you know, single voice instruments, we want so much to be able to convey the harmony in our playing because we don't have the ability to sound those chords. And so we're always chasing what the chord instruments get to do. And we're telling these chord instruments, put yourselves in the box that we have to live in sometimes, right? And really, really see if that can strengthen, as you said, strengthen your melody, strengthen your lines. I think focusing on these money notes, whatever they are to you, is a really great, just a really great concept.
I like it. Have you ever actually had to live in a box, or is that just sort of a phrase you use?
Grad school. Yeah, grad school in Philly.
I was guessing. I think I was in the box just down the street from you, possibly.
Right.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, I want to thank you for tuning in. By the way, I want you to check out the free limited access to JazzWire. Come on in, go to this link below and come in and look around for a full week. It'll take you 20 seconds to come in, no credit card, any of that, and see what it's like to do this work, this depth, this kind of level, 7 days a week. It's an amazing thing, and we'd love to get you there working with us.
Take
so,
it.
Hey, thank you for hanging out with us, J&J on Jazz. Please share these videos with other friends, other musicians, people you think may get a little something out of this. James and I would dig it. James, let's head back to our boxes, and we'll see these nice people next week.
All right, well, scratch your golden doodle behind the ears for me, and I'll see you next week.
I will do that. Take care.
Peace.